Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
I'm not taking the time to develop a full biblical theology of giving. I'm not going to do that. In the past, I've done that. It's a six-part sermon series. It's available on foodforyoursoul.net. You can get that. It's just titled Giving. So if you have any questions about giving in general or you want to grow in that area, you can listen to that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep our focus here on the specific points that Jesus is making in Matthew 6. And so we come now to verse 3. And in verse 3, Jesus really ramps up this principle even further and really hits us hard. Look at verse 3. He says, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Wow, that's hard. I mean, keeping it hidden from others, that's one thing, but keeping it hidden from yourself, from your left hand? How do you do that? Jesus is calling us here to the practice of one-handed giving. For most people, it takes two hands to give a gift. One to write the check, and one to reach around and pat ourselves on the back. Right? That's two-handed giving. And that's the way most of us give. One-handed giving means not doing it for human applause, not even doing it for your own applause, right? It's tough to clap with one hand, isn't it? One-handed giving, where you don't even take notice of your own righteousness. There's so many subtle ways that we tend towards two-handed righteousness. You know, being impressed by our own deeds. You got up early. You read your chapter from the Bible. You read your little devotional. You spent the full number of minutes that you have scheduled you're supposed to do in your prayer time in the morning, and you just feel so good about yourself because you did all your stuff. Well, should you feel good? If the purpose of that routine was to help you commune with the living God, and it worked, then absolutely you should feel good. Absolutely. I mean, if you read that chapter and prayed those prayers, and you walked away loving God more, and it stirred up the fires of affection for Christ in your heart, then yes, it's definitely something to rejoice over. Absolutely. You should feel good about that. That's great. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's not two-handed giving. What he's talking about here is two-handed righteousness is when you're impressed with the external action alone, apart from the internal reality. You just cranked out the religious routine. There's no real communion with God that took place. There's no real steps you took forward in your sanctification. And yet you still walk away patting yourself on the back because you got your chapter read. That's two-handed righteousness. That's theatrical religion. Even though the only one in the audience is you, it's still theatrical. You're not bragging to everyone else. You're not advertising to people around you. No one even knows. It's still a theater. Two-handed righteousness is when I do some religious action and I'm up there on stage and then I'm also the audience. And I may be the only one in the building. But there I am in the front row, all by myself, whistling and cheering and giving myself wild standing ovation for this great righteousness that I'm doing. I observe my own show and I'm moved to tears with the performance. Right? You write the check, sign it, put it in the plate. But it's not our way of saying, "I love you too, Lord." It's just our way of saying, "Okay, conscience, you can shut up now. Put the money in the plate, so lay off already." Or it's our way of saying, "Nice job, self. Well, if people only knew how generous you are, they would just fall down on the ground in awe." You know, that kind of thing. So Jesus says, when you give, don't even take notice. Don't even let your left hand know what's going on. You've heard the phrase forgive and forget. Jesus is saying give and forget. Give and forget. Now, how do you do that? How do you get so you don't have the violins playing in the background in your mind whenever you're doing these good deeds? It's one thing to keep things hidden from other people so they're not impressed, but how do you keep from being impressed with yourself? and taking notice. Well, it is possible. It is possible. I mean, in fact, you can just think of all the things you do every single day without really taking much notice of them. You do them and you forget them. I mean, was there a big trumpet fanfare in your head this when you brushed your teeth this morning? No, you just did it. Did you come here this morning, walk in the doors all puffed up with pride because of the great thing you accomplished by putting on some deodorant? People in your row might appreciate it, maybe. They're clapping, but you probably didn't even think of it. The fact is that the great majority of the things we do every day, we don't take notice of. We barely notice them. We do them, we forget about them. And what Jesus is saying is that's how our giving should be. That's how our generosity should be. That's how our service should be. One-handed righteousness, one-handed giving is giving. When giving becomes such a natural part of the Christian life, it's just like closing the door behind you or turning off a light. It's basically just spontaneous. There's not a lot of deliberation about it, not a big list of pros and cons. You just see a need, you do it, and as fast as you do it, it's out of your mind. You know, the basic actions of life, they're just sort of happening in the background. We don't think they need to be done. We do them, we move on. So why isn't our giving and our serving more like that? What prevents us from our giving and our serving being like flipping on a light switch or closing a door or brushing our teeth or something? What is it that causes us to make such a big deal about our acts of righteousness? Why is it that you haven't given a single thought to the last time you tied your shoes? You're not praising yourself because of that, but the last time you served somebody or you really did sacrifice to give to somebody, weeks later, months later, sometimes you're still keenly aware of whether that person was grateful or ungrateful and how much of your time it took up and how much it cost you and what a big deal it was. Why? Why does it stick in our minds so much? What makes it stick? How can we change that to become more like just tying our shoes? Well, let's look to God's word for the answer. What does the text tell us to do? The only answer we have here in the text is give for reward from the Father. Give for reward. That'll solve the problem. Because if I'm giving for reward, first of all, that's going to keep me from being overly impressed with my own generosity, right? What's to be impressed with? Right? What's to be impressed with if I'm getting something out of it? I mean, if Bill Gates walks up to you and says, here, hey, you know, there's a guy standing on the corner over there. Walk over to that guy. Give him everything you have in your wallet. All the money, all the cash you have in your wallet, just hand it to him. And if you do that, I will reward you with $10 million. And so you walk over, you give the guy that, you know, the $2 bills that you have in your wallet that you borrowed from your kids or whatever. And you come back and Bill Gates hands you $10 million cash. Are you going to be bowled over with how incredibly generous you were to give the $2 to the guy on the corner? No. No. Living for divine reward, for great reward, is a safeguard against pride because it keeps the focus on the generosity of God rather than you. We tend to become impressed with our own generosity and our own giving, our own acts of righteousness when we're not being compelled by the right motives. We give to the poor not because we're seeking rewards that come from the smile of God, not because giving to the poor is the heartbeat of Christ and we want to be by his side in what he loves. None of that is driving us, but rather just the act of giving becomes an end in itself, and that's the only reason we're giving, and we're just impressed because we want to accomplish giving. And we pray not to commune with the Holy One, but just to log some hours. Pray. And we read the Bible not to commune with the Lord, but just to make some progress towards that back cover. And to get it done. To prove how spiritual we are, even if we're only proving it to ourselves. Instead of using the prayer and the giving and the fasting as tools to accomplish spiritual goals, they become the goals in themselves. That's hypocrisy. And that's when your left hand can't help but notice what your right hand is doing. But if your left hand is focused on God and his promises of reward, and your left hand is amazed with God and how generous he is, the fact that the right hand happened to be the tool that God used to alleviate somebody's suffering is almost incidental. And it's nothing to be impressed over. You see that? The reason our own good deeds stick in our minds so much is because the reward we got was so unsatisfying. That's why you remember months later whether this person was grateful or ungrateful. Because the reward you did it for didn't satisfy. You see, if you do, suppose you did 12 hours of hard labor digging a ditch or something for a boss. At the end of the day, your boss comes to you and he pays you 25 cents for 12 hours of hard labor. That sticks in your mind, right? But if you got a fair day's wage for a fair day's work, it doesn't stick in your mind. You just forget about it. You take your wage, cash check, move on. And if you get some huge, disproportional reward for the tiny little work you did, then your attention isn't, you're not remembering the work at all, you're remembering the reward, and that sticks in your mind. Right? I mean, if you pick up a scrap of paper off the floor and throw it in the trash, and somebody rewards you with $10 million, you don't lose a lot of sleep thinking about how much time and energy, and you bent your back over to pick up the paper, and you throw it in the trash, and nobody appreciates it. I mean, you don't think about that. So the reason one-handed giving is so hard for us, the reason we take so much notice of all our sacrifices and generosity and service to others is because the reward we did it for and the reward we got for it was so unsatisfying. We did it for recognition. We did it for human applause. We did it to be appreciated, and we didn't get enough appreciation. We didn't get enough recognition. Or maybe you did get it, but it still didn't satisfy. Even if everybody appreciates what you do and you get a public award, it's not going to satisfy, and that's going to stick in your mind how much it costs you. You know, you clean up after your kids day after day, you do your husband's laundry every day, whatever, year after year, you do that, and I mean, your children, your husband could stand up and in appreciation and give you a standing ovation for and clap and cheer for 10 minutes straight every single day, and it would not satisfy you. Because if we do things for divine reward and we believe God, when he tells us how massive and wonderful his reward is in comparison to what we did, that's when our left hand won't even notice what our right hand is doing. Does this make sense? We'll forget about the deed and be amazed by the size of the reward for such a relatively insignificant gift. If you're ever reluctant to give more because the last time you gave the person was ungrateful, you gave for the wrong reason last time. And you're giving for the wrong reason now. Now, some people have asked about, what about my kids? You know, what if they're not grateful? Shouldn't that bother me? Yeah, as parents, we need to work hard to teach our kids to be grateful. And it's appropriate to be distressed when they're ungrateful, just as it's appropriate to be distressed if your child commits any sin. But we need to work very, very hard to discern our motives and fight against the selfish aspects of our motives. Which part is me being selfish, wanting appreciation from my kids, and which part is me just wanting to teach them righteousness?
One quick point of clarification. Jesus is saying, don't let your one hand know what your other hand is doing when you give. The point of that is don't do it for the sake of self-congratulation. Don't take notice of your own deeds of righteousness for the sake of self-congratulation. But do take notice of the things that will be rewarded so that you can enjoy the fact that God is going to reward you. When he promises those rewards, he wants that to have an effect on your heart. So don't just ignore that. Don't just do good deeds without thinking about the fact that they will be rewarded. God wants you to think about it. Obviously, this whole section is about reward. So he wants you to notice when you do good deeds. He wants you to think about the fact that they'll be rewarded. Just don't think about it for the sake of patting yourself on the back. That's the point. So take an inventory of your life right now and check for external acts of righteousness that have become disconnected from the heart. So easy for this to happen. Something that just turns into a routine, and the reason you started it was a heart reason, but now you've lost that. It could be reading scripture, memorizing scripture, prayers before meals, going to church, giving to the church, all kinds of things like that. Or how about going to work? or serving your family, or doing exercise to keep in shape. All of it should be done for the glory of God. Is there any of that that you're doing, and you're patting yourself on the back for doing it, but it's not expressing anything from your heart to God?
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.